Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Name That podcast, the podcast that does not have current sponsoring, the podcast that I am just currently getting off of the second episode, too, and now at second 10 of podcast 2, I'm doing the intro for both podcasts. I just thought that was fucking hilarious.
It's a little bitty magnet.
Dude, these things are hardcore, though.
Yeah, they are.
Don't throw the magnet at the phone for trying to do podcasts, goddammit.
My phone is a magnet.
I mean, damn it, sorry, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody.
I think everybody that has one is almost a magnet.
Here with us today on the podcast is B-Rad or Brandon.
Ryan's chasing me down the
Say hello, Brandon. No. Say hello.
I was like, that looks like Ryan.
That's how he says hello.
I've seen him a couple times.
Ryan's truck? Ryan does not have a truck.
And also on the podcast, the person you just saw that, is Ryan, the recurring, the second most consistent thing on this podcast. Besides its randomness and inconsistentness.
Yeah, me and my lack of topics, and they don't really pertain to anything. They're more you're questions banter. And answers. You're banter.
I can steer your banter in any direction. I love it, and I enjoy it,
see,
and that's why you're here.
See how enjoyable just showing up is sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah, see?
Well,
motherfucker, don't call nobody. That's his problem. See, that's the problem is that you show up, I'm taking a shit, I'm sleeping off a hangover, I'm fucking in there watching, I don't give a shit what it is. You just show up like that, you're not going to be open with welcome arms, you know what I mean?
I don't expect to be.
I know. Yeah,
like he showed up the other day. I literally just got out the shower. I was about to crawl in bed. Hey, come smoke a cigarette, motherfucker. I'm on your backboard. So I come out here, and I'm fucking like, I'm just like half dead asleep. We sat here, watched YouTube videos for like 20 minutes. I went back and said he left.
Which one of us?
Me.
You always call. You mom.
I'm a big fan of the Irish goodbye.
I call when I get here.
Yeah, you don't say goodbye. That's weird.
Hold up. If I say goodbye, that's like farewell. I'm going to jump off the ship and jump around.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's not like exaggerated for comedic effect. Ryan shows up, announced, and never says goodbye. He just walks off in the distance. Everyone always wondering where he's at the end of the night. B-Rad, however, shows up unannounced. You two are officially two halves of a whole idiot. Congratulations!
Hey, that guy in the middle actually has some manners, but they don't work all the time, so he ain't any better.
And the new thing that we're doing on this podcast is we hand out prizes, ladies and gentlemen. And when you get your prizes, you get a shot. Or get shot, because I have the Red Rider again, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got shot with a pelt rifle?
Not too long ago, my son shot me with a CO2 pistol.
And you shot the wall with a 12 gauge.
Was it a repeater?
Mm-hmm.
And
you shot the wall with a 12 gauge.
Yeah, I almost killed myself. Or I very well could have.
Booze and Guns, ladies and gentlemen, we do not promote people to do bad ideas, but I will not say that we do not promote bad ideas on this podcast.
Guns from your fucking senile fucking grandma who's just trying to give her shit away because somebody else doesn't get it.
We're degenerates. We're not bad people, but we do have a moral code. And we try to promote that code as well as we can. You don't drink, you don't drive, you don't mix guns with alcohol. And you don't fuck one-legged prostitutes. It's just a thing, you know what I mean? You gotta know where you stand in morality. You know?
But when you do all those three things and you're still standing at the end of the day,
you get what's called a good weekend. A really good weekend that you should not be a part of, ladies and gentlemen. That's like the worst PSA ever, goddammit. Public service announcement, people. For those of you who are not familiar with our nomenclature.
Oh, yeah. I need a hall pass.
A nomenclature.
That's actually the wrong use of the word nomenclature.
Nomenclature.
Well, when you're him.
Or a stone without a cause with a great vocabulary that grew up white middle class. You can make one sick-ass rap album. We've seen that in recent years. That's not a thing, though. Tie-dye the smoke guy's quotes or just simply tie-dye's quotes will do.
Is that your real name, Ty?
Tie-dye.
T-Y-D-I-E.
What
does it say on your birth certificate?
T-Y-D-I-E.
Born.
In a nowhere-nothing piece of shit-ass place of fucking West Texas, I was born.
Where?
At West Texas. And then from
where
then...
Where?
In West Texas. But from then on out... I moved to pretty much every state you can think of. If you draw a line up from Texas, everything to the west of including Hawaii, I've been to. So, you know.
Well, you're military brat.
Yeah, Navy brat. Yeah. Which is why I turned out so suave, debonair, and I wear Armani suits every day because.
How come?
Because military.
I wear flannel jackets.
Because military dads have never raised metal sons before. That doesn't happen. It's just not a thing in reality. You know. Like, Just never. Oh. When have you ever met a degenerate military psych?
Jim Morrison. Never met him.
Never met him. Never met him. That was fucking great. I'm about to fucking remember. That's great. God, thank God I recorded that. That's where the gold is. So you gotta look for the diamond in the rough, or the corn in the shit, as we say around here. It's gold. It's gold amongst brown. It's gold amongst brown. You know. Gold
brown. Every day can't be the best day.
It's thieves amongst cons, man. It's lies amongst scholars.
Why can't I be like all two or three?
Because everyone else is just a skeeving, thieving wanker. The whole lot of them. It is a bunch of skeeving, thieving bastards right around the way to pub.
Wait, I don't know who my daddy is.
That put a cramp in things.
Well, we're waiting for his answer with anticipation. The crowd gets silent. Crickets chirp.
You said bastards.
I did.
And
no, he did.
Oh, yeah, okay. And you said, I know who my dad is, and then we all...
So I'm not a bastard child.
Ah.
You're the bastard child of religion and society, the person who went against the grain, who pissed in the wind, who said, I, sir, will not be like the norm.
The man was an idiot. They learned real quick why not piss in the wind again.
And you're very
sick. Well, I walk around smell like urine all the time, so I don't really care.
Right, and you're sitting at a table with a bunch of Wall Street success stories here, so why the fuck not, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can call myself a success. I'm bigger than most. Yeah, that's right. My dick hangs low, bitch. I drive a BMW. Nothing at all, dude. Those are all lies.
I used to have Lexus, but I wrecked it because I'm in Texas.
It was a real poor attempt at a joke. Like, I guess, apparently.
That's an actual story. When I ruptured my oil pan and drove home, and the cops followed me by the oil trail, and they showed up. My parents.
Hold on. Tell the story. If you get, don't give us the abridged version. The people are listening.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I was a house party jumping, and I hit about 8 house parties.
Give me a drink. What's your drink?
Oh, it's in the backpack, dude. Right there.
Why do you put it away?
It looked like it was getting cold.
It's cold out here.
Exactly.
It's Queen Nibbly.
Yeah, but the abridged version, yeah, after all those parties, I was jumping to another one, and of course I was drinking and driving and working on leaving the living, as Modest Mouse says.
Working on leaving the living.
And I hit a big fucking stone, limestone mailbox, because they're prevalent out here.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is why we don't promote drinking and driving, ladies and gentlemen.
And the whole front of my car looked like a V, you know, because the way it hit. And then, I was trying to back out and leave the scene of the accident, my airbag decided to deploy 3 seconds late, and it kicked my ass. And then with no power steering, leaking fucking oil and all kinds of precious fluids that drive a car, I was like turning like it was 1920, hand over hand, wasted. So I
no oil, no radiator
house.
Probably, no fucking power steering, just fucking rod dogging it all the way back to the house.
Yeah, and I get there, and then I showed up, and my mom was like, I'm so proud of you, you haven't done anything stupid in a while. And I was like, well, Mom, the thing is, I just kind of wrecked my car, and she started laughing at me, because she thought it was a joke. I was like, no, really, it's fucked up. It's in your driveway. It's leaking oil.
And I was like,
That was my Lexus.
That shit right out of the way.
You had a Lexus?
I had a Lexus.
What year? What kind of
I don't know. It was a long time ago, man.
Oh, okay. A lot of beers ago, buddy. I don't know.
A Lexus is just a fancy Toyota.
I disagree, but all right, go on. That was awful.
Yeah.
Well.
And then, you know, Dad started talking to me, and he was like, wow, you've been drinking? And I was like, well, yeah, I was in between house parties, kind of wrecked my car. And
hey, but did you die? And did you die?
I'm a cockroach.
Spoiler alert, people, he did not die. La cucaracha. You never die.
Yeah, that is a fucked up deal.
But anyway, so after that, like, the cops roll up, and they have the dude whose mailbox I crippled right in tow behind him, and, you know, the cop comes up, and he was like, you do know that it's illegal to flee the scene of an accident. Do you want to know how I found you?
And I really do.
I was
really
like, I'm kind of curious, actually. And he goes, I followed the trail from your broken oil pan that led all the way up this driveway,
you know,
which you're staining.
You know, and no two people, he probably, I don't know if anybody knows anything about a little bit of oil, a little bit of anything about fucking cars, but you do not have to get out the motherfucking car to follow that trail. He could have taken a spotlight and followed the shiny spot in the road, the glowing trail to the to the fucking felon, that just to the fucking criminal. I'm following the golden brick road all the way to your goddamn house, shining in the asphalt.
And yeah, he totally did that.
Wow.
Explained it to me. In the
wow,
right.
Yeah,
the other guy was like,
here we go. Here we go. One for the big man.
Oh, you never heard that story?
One for the big man.
Yeah, you just kind of look like depressed.
Oh, I've heard that story before. But see, the thing is, though, I don't discourage people for telling good stories on a podcast.
No, I'm just like,
you asshole.
I'm just like them.
Oh, hey, ignore that one.
Some stupid
of course
shit
you did.
Like that. It was like, but you fucking straight up like. Owned it, like, right when your mom started
dude, there's a given point in time when you're so far up Schitt's Creek, you realize that the water's made of shit, you know what I mean? You got a cave somewhere. Some people will die with the lie. That just depends on the situation. You know, I have strategically used that particular method to get me out of a lot of sick situations in my life. I'm not gonna say you're lying to people. I'm a good person. Now. At the current moment. but I do have body DWI stories, actually, a few of them, and they were not pretty. They were not pretty. I grew up in a real special part of Texas, because I came from way the fuck up. I think it was culture shock, but I came from way up north in fucking Idaho, okay? And I make my way down here in
Little
Texas.
I thought you were born in West Texas.
Yeah, and I moved around a lot and wound up in Idaho, and before I came back to Texas.
That's right, Idaho.
Yeah, backtrack. Just go back and listen to my podcast. You'll hear it all. I'm kind of a big deal. Anyway. Anywho, as I was saying, I came down here and even though the town, and I wound up leaving it with great relish, I'm happy to be in the big city up here doing, you know, whatever the fuck it is I do. I'm not going to say it. But,
okay.
You know, I had to get out of town. Okay. The town was small. It had no opportunity. It was a real, they had this thing there. They actually had a name for it. It was called BIBs and BOBs, the Bibs and Bobs. It's either the born in Brenhams or the born out of Brenhams. And if you're born out of Brenham, it's okay. You can live there for as long as you want, but you're not connected to the families that own everything. In the only good jobs, like I'm talking like Valmont Welding, Bluebell, you know, the ice cream factory, Germania Insurance, the Walmart there, HEB, one of the biggest fucking HEB supercenters there in the fucking area, like in the tri-state area. Like, yeah, there's so many fucking good ass jobs, but whatever, fucking Tri-County, I said. That's what I meant to say. That area right there, it's a huge little mecca. Like, it does have its gems. Otherwise, if you're not born, if you're not connected to the families that live there that own these things.
I've lived in Texas my whole life. I never heard of Brim until you said you were from Brim.
You've heard of Bluebell?
I know, right? I didn't believe it existed until I went there with him.
Oh, no. It's like I said, I'm defending it and not defending it at the same time. It was a small piece of shit town. It had no opportunity. It was very, like, it was very landlocked as far as the BIBs went, the born-in little cult of people they had to run shit. And they did.
It's clicky like that wherever you go.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, small towns of Texas, communities. We down here in the South, we believe a lot in community, and, you know, that's a part of the way it goes, so.
Oh, can I tell a story about Dale when I was in Kerrville?
I'll finish this real quick. Well, basically what I was saying is it was a small town, but I had a very stereotypical, what you would call your country song high school experience. It's where I wrecked my first car.
It's where
I found Jesus.
You were a cowboy wearing a cowboy hat.
I said, yes, exactly. If I showed you, you seen the picture.
Yeah.
I'm talking Pearl Snap from Ravens, y'all. We was doing it. We was going hard to paint.
That was a little bit more flannel kid, Children of the Corn, punk rock my whole life.
See, and that's what I was right before I went Pearl Snap and Wranglers, man. See, I wasn't a part of a clip growing up. When I first moved here?
No, how old are you now?
Now?
Yeah.
I'm a certain age, man, that's allowed to do a live podcast with a bunch of people that don't want to know too much about me, goddammit! Do you want my social security number, too?
No, I just said how old are you?
What's your mom's maiden name?
I'll give you the last four digits, and I'll tell you the secret passcode to my credit card.
You know, actually, you should totally do that live, because that sounds like some Rod fucking Stewart fucking quality fucking entertainment there. I can't wait to see how many people like, yo, fucking,
no,
I'm gonna write that shit down.
They're going through the ceiling, they're like, dude, you're broke as fuck now, but
you wouldn't believe,
you made Ty really popular.
You wouldn't believe how cyber security, man, like, that's, holy shit, you could fuck somebody with the minimalist of goddamn information these days.
Oh, yeah. So, Dale, speaking of small towns in the middle of nowhere fucking Texas,
right,
Kerrville.
Kerrville.
This one dude.
Kerrville, the small. That's so much bigger than fucking Petaluma. This piece of shit.
They have a college.
Y'all are just fucking making fun of the town. Yeah. No, we have a college there, too. We have a community college. Blinn, it's a starter job college to get you into fucking,
Any more prestigious colleges like ACC.
It's one of them dead colleges to push people to big colleges, you know? It's like
ACC's a pretty big community college.
I'm just making fun of whatever the fuck he said.
Okay, if Blinn College was the mouth, A&M would be the asshole. That's where people end up, so.
Aggie traps.
My grandpa was.
Hook him, bitch!
But anyway, this dude, if you're not from Kerrville and you move there to go to college, you're going to get pulled over, locked up, and
you party. College kids.
Yeah, exactly. And you think that would be acceptable, but it's like, you ain't from around here, boy.
I mean, it's acceptable to, yeah, and you're not part of that community.
Yeah, I got locked up for just being in the car next to somebody that had, like, 2 beers.
No shit, did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He was being white on a Friday night.
Yeah.
You were being white on a Friday night and got arrested for that, so, you know.
Yeah, white people problems.
It goes both ways, y'all. It goes both ways. I get arrested on a college campus fucked up shit, maybe a felony. You get arrested in the hood. No. Look, I'm not saying I'm not racist. I'm just saying it's a thing, all right? It's kind of a thing.
No, this cat Dale, though, he was like, you know, big honky redneck. He was born there, but his family, his daddy, and his property, and his ranch. And,
right, because we don't stereotype. We don't stereotype.
He's, he's really drunk, and he's driving his truck. And the cops pull him over because he was having difficulty staying in his lane.
What, did you get out the car or something? You didn't do nothing wrong. You're just drunk.
I didn't do anything
in this
situation.
You could be hammered in the passenger seat in
Texas. No, but the thing is,
my lawyer told me if you don't get out the passenger seat, you demand.
Oh, I tried to do that once. That's how I got arrested. This is Kerrville.
Resisting!
Yeah, I was like, I'm not resisting shit. I don't have to get out. I don't know my rights. And he just ripped me out by my arm and put me in the street and said public intoxication.
That's right.
I was like,
we got rules in the
country.
I was
publicly intoxicated until you threw me into the street.
Welcome to the sticks, y'all. Welcome to the Lone Star State, baby. That's what they going to do you just like that because I have 500 stars open. Same shit.
Have any kind of
song and dance.
Fucking control issue.
I have a small dick. My wife hates me. And
I stubbed my toe on the way out the morning. I spilled my coffee.
Makes me feel this big.
Yeah, the dude.
That's
what
I felt.
He stubbed his toe this morning on the way out the house. Spilled his coffee on the drive over.
He stepped on a tack when he rolled out of bed.
Got no nookie last night. You know what I mean? Just because he was sweaty.
And he somehow woke up with herpes too.
Hey, white people problems, y'all. They're real. All right, they're real. Starving kids in Africa doesn't feed me today.
I can't even get to the end of my story.
Do you know what they say in Africa? Starving kids in Detroit would be happy to have that.
But anyway, this dude gets pulled over, all drunk, and, because he couldn't stay in his lane. I was like, hey, you know why I pulled
stay
you over?
Lane.
He was like, I was having difficulty staying in my lane. And he goes, well, yeah, that's why I pulled you over. Why is that? And he's like, well, I've been drinking.
Damn, he nailed the test. He's 2-2 right now.
And he looks over and he goes, is that a handgun in between your seat? Yeah.
Oh, 3 for 3!
And he goes, is it loaded? And he goes, is yours?
He's 4 for 4, ladies and gentlemen. This man is winning. The all-time lawyer. He should take the bar.
And so
he should take the bar.
So he takes the gun, he takes the bullets out, the cop does, gives it back to him, puts a clip in, and he was like, I'm keeping your bullets, you can have your gun back. And he's like, that's cool, my center console's just full of bullets.
They might have shot
that shit does not happen in Texas nowadays.
That's a little bit more specific.
That was a rare,
it's a little bit more.
It may have been because there was a certain level of somewhat
what
people really respect somebody that's straightforward and just.
He arrested him. Don't you remember that he said?
No, he didn't arrest him. He let him fucking ride.
But he arrested you.
No, this was... I got arrested.
The driver got away with it, and you got arrested.
He's telling the dude in this situation, he's telling the cops, just straight up said exactly...
Was he a local boy?
Yep.
Okay, so no, you...
He wasn't listening.
I'm sorry.
He was. I had 2 stories, and they can join.
Thank you.
That's...
I had
to explain that. You said you're arrested, and then you were talking about... his top incident.
And they were talking about, I thought he was telling DWS story because he was talking about it a second ago.
That was my public intoxication charge.
Yes, you know, local boys get treated like they know because local boys do, and they know. You know exactly what I was saying a minute ago about the BIBs and the BOBs. Those are just.
Yeah, dude, it's like if you ain't from around here, we know you ain't from around here, and it's like you don't belong here.
That's everywhere. That's all of it, though. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I grew up in so many different places, dude. Like, for real.
Man, because you're being judged.
Yeah, you are constantly. Look, you know.
Why? Because I'm from Austin and you're from fucking the middle of nowhere.
All I'm saying is that.
Because that's how small-minded motherfuckers think.
Yes, everywhere culturally, no matter where you go.
Like, it's not equal, you know what I mean?
There
is no equality. Right off the bat,
I don't know your daddy. You ain't been to my farm.
But what I'm saying is that every particular situation and deals with this, like, you go.
I don't have the same accent. As you got around these parts too.
It's a real big race thing in America, and I'm all for Black Lives Matter. You know, I'm all for that shit. I like strongly, firmly believe in it. It's just certain things go a little too far. Like, for instance, that matter right there. Like, no matter where I've been in places where white is the minority, and it was not a comfortable feeling at all. Like, no matter where you went, dude. Like, you constantly get judged and sized up by these stereotypes that are perpetuated by the media to make, you know, I mean, this we live in a bubble of fear, and we don't realize.
I live in fucking a bubble of fucking fear.
You don't, but you know, you're brash. But I'm saying, like, most, in a generalized term, though.
Actually a compliment.
You can go next door and you can ask your neighbor for a cup of sugar. I guarantee you, if the dad's home, he'll invite you and give you a beer and a cup of sugar. If he doesn't drink, it's like, you know, it's just a fine, how do you do? How you going, sir? You know, whatever the fuck they talk like.
I'd be like, can I borrow your Wi-Fi security password? Because I don't have internet that actually is functioning right now. My plumbing's bad.
Yeah, it's like, we all looking out for each other, but
honestly, yes or no.
and particularly, ladies and gentlemen, I have actually experienced this more particularly in a concentrated city, in bigger cities that I've been to, which, you know, I've been to many. You know, I'm no smarter than the next man. I'm just,
how old are you?
This is just personal experience. I'm no smarter than the next man. I'm just saying. Okay.
I'm 30. I'll be 38 this year.
That's cool. Can you count that far?
Yes.
I think it starts with one. You know, it comes before 1-0.
Bullshit. That's a negative. They taught me that in math.
Actually, it's not negative or positive. It's just what creates numbers.
You're lying. See, that's not what my teacher done told me. See, Mama says the magic rays of sunshine come down when you're feeling blue to make you happy.
My mama says go fly kites in traffic because you took the best years of my life.
And how we got the second most consistent thing on this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is riding in traffic! Yay for head injuries. I got a few.
Hey, 4 concussions. How'd you get them? Do you know when they happened? It's like, I looked at the clock, and then I got a severe fucking head injury, and then I looked back at the clock.
Mama said don't play in the street, but when I watched Sesame Street, that looked so fun, I went out there and flew a kite in traffic. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. This is Ryan, and Ty, and probably Ryan. I don't know about Ryan. I know what your upbringing was.
I'm 37.
Yeah, I said your upbringing. What's your upbringing?
It was good until I've seen the ugly side of how adults behave.
Oh, God. And the devil's advocate is in the building, people.
I'm like a bad person whenever I think about myself.
You're talking real, but no.
I didn't have the same.
Speak up. I can hear you all mopey in the corner over there.
Things were good, and they were like, I guess, almost like a fairy tale until I seen the other side of reality and how
people
can be with each other.
Look, as the late, great Frank Sinatra once said, though, that's life. That's what all the people
say. One day everything was fine.
Yeah, you wake up one day,
and then
man.
One day.
You wake up and realize that's just not an annoying thing in your pants or something you got to attend to. You wake up one day and get online looking for sweet blonde and good titties and wind up fucking horse cocks and BBC. You wake up one day and you realize that taxes are real, ladies and gentlemen, and that the emancipation. and it doesn't matter where you're at these days.
Oh,
yeah. No, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. That's the point. Like, literally, the point to that entire, the struggle is real.
But yeah. When you wake up and your first thought is, I gotta go to the mailbox so I can pay my bills, or hey, how come I don't have a refrigerator?
So I'm saying, man.
Hey, why is my name Ryan and I live on a fucking middle of nowhere driveway?
Reality hits me with a ton of bricks, man. Your body starts changing. Start growing hair in places it ain't supposed to be. You smell funny.
Oh, testosterone.
You smell funny.
You lose hair where you want it. And keep it where you don't need it.
Your best friend kicks too low because you're wearing baggy pants and still hits your balls. And you're like, God damn it, they dropped. And then you're fucked. Because then you're in the fetal position for like an hour. Someone's got to carry you off the playground.
And then everybody asks you, why do you wear steel toes when you kick me in the dick?
See, that's a hard, cold lesson that the host, Tada, personally has experienced, though. I wasn't joking a minute ago. Like on all the bullshit spoken, though, this is one day, Miss Smith's class, fifth grade, my cousin Rebecca fucking, like, out of nowhere came up to me. I guess she was, like, hostile, but friendly. I don't know what to do.
Did Craig make you all zombie?
I'm sure.
Grabs me by both my wrists and starts spinning me around. And I'm like, okay, the fuck? This is kind of weird. Why are we doing this? And she starts laughing and then stops. And while I'm all dizzy and shit and fucking standing there, she fucking grabs both my wrists and pulls me in as hard as she can and puts that high heel so far into my nutsack. I swear to God, my children will have Prada on their forehead. Like, it was... My father had to carry me off the playground in the most embarrassing, man-shattering moment where you are... It's been 30, 40 minutes. The recess is done. The class is inside. Everyone's got their nose pressed up against the glass. And I'm being carried off the playground, crying, in fetal position, by my shins. Because I'm like, what? Like, all of 10 pounds soaking wet with change in my pocket? carried on in the locked fetal position by my shins. Like, as if they were a handle to be put in the you know...
Oh, you sound like a luggage I could put in an overhead compartment.
I still weigh about the same, nigga. I done gained like maybe 50 pounds, though, but that's about it. That's about it. I'm still a short shit, like, motherfucker. If I had this mouth on a 7-foot-tall, 300-pound dude, like, just ripped. Like, just
that imagine would be a force to be reckoned with.
That dude doesn't exist. The tougher version of me is McGregor. He's like 30 pounds on me.
Oh, I've had some Clan McGregor.
You know what I'm talking about? Scotch. No, Conor McGregor.
I was like, he snorted at you. That's like the most activity I've seen out of our guest.
Him and I talk UFC when you're not around.
Because I want to start talking.
You have bias in sports. When you're not around, me and Brad actually talk about, like, UFC and shit. Conor McGregor was the world champion. But we're watching fights random. What is your thing in random fights? You YouTube random... Do people send you these? Is this your Facebook feed?
No, it's just crazy that, you know, some people...
Which, by the way, I realize isn't the thing, people. I'm not angry.
No, it's just...
Facebook feed is not...
It's entertaining. I'm just, like, maybe seeing them... different people scrap and seeing some of the crazy shit, crazy fight, because you want to see somebody like...
I've got my ass kicked and I've kicked a bunch of ass in my day. I've seen both situations meld each other out in a very interesting way.
I take punches so other people don't have to because my head's really fucking thick.
One day, I was in Houston and I was going down there to visit...
Yeah, that's anybody's head, dude. I learned that the hard way. Several times.
But that's the thing, though. It doesn't hurt as bad as everybody thinks. They fear it. That's
face.
It's my eyes. That's my nose. It's where all your senses.
First time I fucking boxer fractured
It didn't hurt any worse than getting punched in the solo plex.
Oh, man.
Bitch, I'd rather get punched in the face than the solo plex.
Oh, hell
yeah. Any day. You know what I'm saying? By a motherfucker that know how to actually punch? By a person who's been trained? Some skills?
Because I hit him, I was like, ow!
Yeah, that hurt your hand more than it hurt you. Yeah,
no, it broke. I knew this.
Yeah, I broke, dude. True story. Not even but 4 months ago, I broke my fucking right hand on motherfucking Ryan's fucking forehead right here across the fucking table from me. And I'm gonna punch you again because goddamn, that's funny as hell. Oh my god! Not even seriously. That was less than like less than what? What? Okay. That was like 6 months ago. Yeah, I stupid ass fucking like hammer fisted it, and I will say here the true story on live podcast for the first time ever. Like I tell people, and be real, I don't know people in here. Like these ain't my people. I'm new here in town. I don't give a fuck. So when I tell the story, I change it a little bit. I ain't no liar. I just exaggerate certain parts of the conversation.
It's called embellishment.
Embellishment. Yes, I'm a good storyteller. Right. That's why I have a podcast. Kind of a big deal. It's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. I'm a podcast superstar. Anyway, I've gotten like plenty of fights in my day and scrapped or whatever, but how embarrassing is this? My homie, best friend in the entire world, drinking buddy, we're drunk one night, we're chilling. Matt was there. My old roommate. We don't talk about him much. You know about him. Listen to a couple podcasts ago.
I remember Matt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the glasses?
Yeah, but yeah, blonde. No, wait. Yeah, yeah.
The white dude?
Yeah.
He was smoking dabs?
No. That was Josh. That was Josh, yeah. That shit ended up pretty bad. You met him? That's a pretty bad ending. Like, that spiraled way out of control. Like, You just that was a real bad. That's one of the, that's the most viewed podcast listen on this entire fucking thing. And I don't even know if it's like three podcasts ago, me and Ryan were actually addressed the fact that he's not here, he's not back, and why. It's a lot of it was when we did Back in Action. We spoke on that briefly about how it was just so negative to in order to catch the audience up as why we haven't done a podcast in over 3 months with constant, you know, like our promises to make it better with more format and more guests and stuff. And this dude has the most listened to podcast out of all podcasts we've
done.
That's
because it contained a bunch of intellectual property, and usually it's just us, like, rambling.
That was the second in the cup holder. I mean, I don't know. You and I listened to it the other night, and we were trying to figure out what the magic is, the capture.
That's what the magic is, man. Intellectual properties.
Honestly, no. There's a formula. There's a way of performing to people, and the way that format came across so cleanly. Well, it had an intro song. It rolled in. And I mean, I'm trying to talk and drive this in. Is it left here? You know, you hear that in the background in the middle of, like, the conversation still bantering on. And we started off talking. I went back and listened to it. Remember? We fucking listened. We're doing the podcast kicks off with the subject of LSD, THC, DMT, you know, stuff like that. But that's not where the conversation stayed. It didn't float.
Well, it went into like physical therapy and things that are actually, you know, presenting to other people that are trying to get, you know, better in their lives. It's like a rehabilitation kind of thing that was going on.
Well, getting through traffic, and you know, my speaker's good. That's one of the things I've been blessed with all the fucking shit that's happened in the past couple years. Last thing I came out with, Riding Strong, is a good. It's a really nice motherfucking drug, a badass motherfucking drug. And speaker's so good in there that I was able to get great quality. I don't know. I guess maybe the mic is good too. On top of that, regardless, shout out to Galaxy. But the phone, I got it sitting in the cup holder, and in the cup holder has been so successful. I can turn on songs, turn off songs, as long as we're still talking in the background. There's no copyright thing or whatever. I think it's still, you know,
yeah.
We had an intro song. We had the radio in the background. We're bullshitting. I'm like trying to get directions at the same time talking. It's a solid fucking format. It really is.
Didn't we have like an intro from Smashing Pumpkins, like Zero once?
We tried to do that on it was either the last one we broadcast with the failed writing story. And
oh God, yeah, that was terrible. I apologize for that. Anybody that actually listens, to you want to talk about?
I did 20 minutes of How I Met Locke. Like that was just that. I mean, that story I've always wanted to put out there live. I don't feel like that really lived up to its full potential. You're here in the background, like I've heard this story 500 times. I'm trying to talk.
And I'm like trying to read, and I'm like, yeah, I can't read my own.
It started off so soft. That's the thing about the banter, though, on the podcast. It works well with you, particularly, because what? What's up?
When's your birthday?
God damn it! One more time, dude.
Oh, dude. Why are you so obsessed with how old this guy is?
I didn't want to broadcast that. Like, I didn't even want to say that out loud. Like, I'm, like, for real.
How old are you?
Old enough. I'm a young buck with an old soul and a swinging dick. Bitch, don't get slapped. I'm Indian.
Get kneecapped.
I'm from tribe Slapaho. We live in the Wishing Nigga Woods. So in my native tongue, suck a nigga nigga song.
Part of that, I didn't really get all that well, but that's just me.
I'm just saying that for you. I'm Indian, Spanish, Danish, white.
Ah, well, you fucking Dane.
I know, I'm a dirty son of a bitch.
Only thing worse than the Dane is a Welsh.
I also found out that with me being, you know, child actor and bullshit, the Scottish routine, I do it very well. And the more I do it, the better I get into it, like the more I start flowing into it. And that's where the random quote, the Loch Ness Monster and the Skaven Thaven Wankers, that where that comes from. I just found out recently that I have a shit ton of Scottish in me. Like, I know, is Irish or Scottish? God damn it.
Oh, would you like to wear some avocado? Maybe put on a flannel? Let's go kill the English. They're invading their territory.
And you know my grandma, right? As old school Baba Thumper as she is, she's like 1/16th African. And I think it's funny, and she thinks it's weird. And that makes it even funnier.
When I was on vacation, I was hanging out with this black cat, and he was like, man, are you sure you're not part black? I'm like, dude, I'm, like, pretty much all the way white, except for a little bit of Spanish.
Only from the west down.
You kind of act black. And I was like, what does acting black even mean?
What does that mean, though?
Yeah, it's not like I'm trying to, like...
I mean, am I like...
I don't even know what that means.
Am I like Cosby black, or am I like Bernie Mac black, or Chris Tucker black? I mean, there's a difference. There's a big difference.
I'm probably more of a Chris Tucker type because I'm just a little bit loopy and off the wall, but I'm not vegetarian, so I can't really relate.
Well, you're a Marlon Wayans boy.
That sounds amazing! Oh my god! I was trying to think of the comedian sounds like the dude with the brother. You're a fucking Wayans, but that's what you are right there. That's a little bit... God damn, it's funny.
So thank you for defining my artificial blackness, Brandon.
I'm just saying, if you weren't...
We don't perpetuate stereotypes or racism in this podcast.
They're ethnical accuracies.
Ethnical accuracies?
Yes.
You know, I mean, shut up. Oh, my God. Dude, you're live. You're live, motherfucker. You gotta censor that shit. Pull it back. Put it back a little bit. Put
hey, man,
it back
people,
a little bit, son.
People don't like that until they
back.
Start quoting it.
Bring it back, son.
What is
Bring.
That?
I'm a cult of personality, man. Look, shit, like, you know, you saw the spit. You
well, people are like, you're Irish, that means you're drunk and angry. Okay. And I'm like, well, I might be drunk, that doesn't mean I have to be angry at the same time.
I know to the masses...
Well, if we're putting labels on what she would be as a black person, it would definitely it would be a Wayne's.
The Wayne's that didn't make it?
No.
That one driving the Monte Carlo, you know, the Pontiac, and we ain't gonna tell that.
I don't even know what that means. The Wayne's didn't make it. You know what I mean?
I know, right? Honestly, yeah. Like, let's be real.
You know, it's really it's probably a true thing because they irritate the living piss out of me, and I irritate the living piss out of myself. So I'm gonna have to go ahead, and I concede defeat, and I accept your statement.
I like how you are so like it's ridiculous. You're comedically like you are literally. It's like somebody's writing. And like Morgan Freeman's narrating your life in the most mundane fucking I hate myself. And everywhere you go, you get laughs. You get I don't have to look when you get drunk and stupid.
I'm
okay?
A self-loathing Irish bastard.
Yeah. You're a little self-loathing. You're a little bit drunk. Let's be honest, let's be real. Okay, you're a little bit drunk.
Okay, I'm not a bastard.
I think you say that.
You get out there, you get sloppy, and you get in front of people, right? And so many people give positive feedback.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, you are like the greatest brand of weird. And I know, like, we're broadcasting live, so there's probably a few assholes out there right now who are not quite 100. There's a couple assholes in the fucking bunch. There's a couple assholes in the bunch. But the, like, majority of time...
I admire the honesty.
Yes!
I have honesty problems. Doesn't mean I'm a liar. It just means when I say something... You're not going to like the answer because I'm going to tell you what I fucking think.
Now, Josh, I love to death. I really do. And like I said, most listened to podcasts out of all the podcasts. He's a great dude. I grew up with him. He had his issues and he had his problems. When he was coming out to them, it seemed like last time he showed up, he was working through a lot of them. And that may or may not have been like reflected slightly in the podcast that happens to be our most successful one put out there, most listens. But it's just when he got here and we got settled and everything – it's just so many things like insecurity, like all the pain and the hatred that you were trying to numb from all the past fucking years came out. When I went out with the dude, and I love him to death, like I said, this is still considered, even after the fallout, still on this day, and I will say it live, still considered a brother to me. If he's out there listening right now, I mean that. I really do. It's one love all the way around. Yeah. But the thing is, I feel like it's just, I had to apologize for his behavior when I took him out and he got sloppy. You know what I mean? He got sloppy in the wrong kind of way. Mm. And I had to apologize.
What happened?
I had to apologize for his behavior on his behalf, but it wasn't him doing it. It was the alcohol. And now he gets sober and he's been sober for so fucking long. And I'm proud of him. You know what I mean? It's you know, great strides in life.
What the fuck happened?
Some bad. We had a fallout last time he was here. Right after the podcast, I drove him up here to Austin. And we actually decided not to put this out there, but I'll put it out there. He was here, and that podcast has been really successful. It was a great conversation. And I had fun with him catching up.
Okay, what happened?
He's not the same. He changed his ways. He's going through what seems to me like, and I'm no philosophical or no psychologist over here, but what seems to me like a little phase that he's going through where he's just so apologetic for the lack of common sense, behavior, manners, everything that like has gone wrong in the past couple years. So the entire time I had him up here for the 4 days and the weekend up here in the city, it was just, I mean, well, you know, you were there, Ryan. You saw. Right?
Yep.
Am I being too harsh? Am I being fair? Am I being fair?
That's fair, dude. Harsh is... That comes with, like, a side of anger.
Now, sticking
this
to
This is more reality.
Now, sticking to my moral code, I will not put out there the story where I don't admit my own faults, because I know I am a big part of it. I don't like to lie. I don't like to portray a person in a story in a negative light and not comment on what I did. I was there. I was getting fucked up. I was proud of me. I was doing time. I was making good money. And it was one of those periods of time where I was having a good time. I was getting drunk a lot, you know, smoking a little bit back, you know, and I started smoking again and everything like that. And I think I just kind of like scared him away in a sense of that. But it was literally after I had gotten done with his bullshit.
Didn't we do that to TJ?
Yeah, well, not really. Not really in the same. Because TJ appreciated us doing us and he was able to do him. I don't feel like personally, and this is coming from a real spot here. Again, people, I'm trying to get past this.
it's come from a real spot. I feel like he was not done. Like, TJ's comfortable with himself. He's good people. He knows what he's doing. He's got direction. He can change his environment and make his life what he wants because he has the will and smarts, the capability to do so. I feel like Josh still has the same capabilities, but he's not living up to his potential. What he's doing here is he came out here to his old partying buddy, his old drinking buddy, back in the days when he fucking got drunk as shit and fucking acted damn fly. They apologized for it. It wasn't the same at all. The click did not match at all. And I'm still doing me. I'm still having a good time. I don't get it. I made some life decisions in my life too, which I spoke about on the podcast before, about getting sober, and we're proud of me for doing so. But I felt like partying again. He couldn't handle being around, and after like 2 or 3 days trying to correct my behavior and be nice and like just not party and just, you know what I mean, be very hospitable to him and being aware of his social circumstance that he was in, I was trying to be aware of what he was doing. But after so long, I just this apologetic constant whining, moaning nature of everything, like he just, oh my god, it drove me up the wall. And then I took him to the lake. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just being a bitch. Took him over to the fucking lake. We went out there with fucking beers and lawn chairs and everything. Ryan couldn't stay next to the damn fucking campfire and chill with us for like 10 minutes before he was off wandering onto the other side of the damn park. It was driving him nuts too. And I, and we all came back here to chill.
Well, you could just feel the resistance in the air, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
You sit next to the dude and he's just like, man, I can't stomach the fact that I'm here and present in your company and I'm trying to be a different person and you're still the same kind of people and I don't want to be corrupted by you.
And I get that.
I just
felt
that energy and it was like, I want to walk somewhere and smoke a cigarette and forget you're fucking here.
And on the real, like I said, I don't like to just not put out there the full story. So in his defense, like, you know, I mean, we're still partying. We have control. We have jobs. We income and make and produce and just keep on and keep a lid on the situation. That's not for him. That's not for us. Neither one of us is right. Neither one of us is wrong. He's just trying to do something different now. And he's going through this phase where he's so apologetic and so remorseful about
it. Did you tell him?
I tried to, but, you know, you
people don't listen to you a lot.
Well, it's not that I don't listen. I mean, like a lot of people do. Obviously, we're on a podcast. No, but you know, just let me tell you about you, motherfucker. Nobody likes to hear shit. I don't like to hear that shit. You at home don't like.
Nobody wants to hear that shit.
So I'm saying,
let me tell you about you, and it's like I have a mirror. I look in it sometimes. I don't even like to look at it.
Exactly. It's just a little hard take. And he was going through a thing.
You want to hear harsh truth?
I do.
Cherish. Because I've been very generous with the midnight.
You want to hear a harsh truth?
Go on.
Of all the people I know, you in particular are the only one that, like what you just said, is you, like you're describing yourself.
Well, I have a little self-awareness. I know I talk too much. I know I'm loud. I know I'm a lot for people to handle. But
I,
like,
I'm not, I don't mean that in the analyst of ways or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just
being real. I mean, you got to be self-aware. No, I appreciate it. I take that as a compliment. I really do. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. I describe myself. I do. I know me, and I know my faults. And there comes a time in life, and I don't know if this is just redundant to say it or not, if it's just fucking classic shit, but, you know, you either change the things you don't like about yourself, or you accept them. And who stays around. Now, I talk too much.
A smart lady told me one time, she said, if one person says it, probably you just fucking, they're just fucking hating.
You gotta recognize a pattern, homie.
Oh, wait. I love this quote.
More than a couple people bring it up to you, then it might be worth looking into.
Might be. Hey, here's your sign, motherfucker. Hold on. Here's your billing ball. Here's your sign.
I remember this when I was going to rehab.
Yeah?
It's pretty, I mean, I remember.
Yeah. It's like one person says it, you might put some stock in it. A bunch of people say it, you should probably listen. And then, like, if everybody says it, it is actually happening.
So, what just happened,
right?
Absolutely.
What just happened, ladies and gentlemen? Is that a real?
You can't live in a world of grandeur and delusion. Or you can.
They ain't going to do shit for you.
All right, hold on. Here's what just happened here, ladies and gentlemen. I was just about to say something very redundant, which is a very piece of knowledge that does need to be shared, but it's like it's passed on. So you said mother said that? Mother passed it to you.
No, I said a smart lady.
Okay, so a smart lady
that I had no respect for to begin with.
Well, regardless, right.
But over time, talking about a smart lady made a whole lot of fucking sense.
No matter what you think about the lady,
look. Even, if you don't respect a person and they say some shit that is actually mind-blowing.
Okay, well, I tried to ignore and block out at the beginning to hear Tom. I was like, whatever, lady. I was living in a world of grandeur and delusion.
Yeah.
So I thought what they had to say was shit, and they didn't know what they were talking about.
All right, hold up.
I really didn't agree with
I really want to get this out. Saying, what I was trying to say there was, what just happened, ladies and gentlemen, is that no matter what you think of the person, you can always take something from somebody. Somebody somewhere has a small
piece. I'm not over here thinking.
Hold on. Dude, just give me five. Give me five. Take five, Brian. You said one of the most coolest fucking coolest thing I ever heard. Like, I really appreciate that. I do. I'm trying to compliment you on that. A smart lady whom you didn't think much of gave you a piece of wisdom.
Well, I fucking hate
you. You passed that wisdom on to Ryan.
It was fucking right.
And no.
I'm just speaking in general.
And unbeknownst to me, you passed that knowledge from this lady onto Ryan. And before Ryan went to rehab, I actually have heard this quote before. He said, "Ooh, I've heard this quote, I love this quote. I've heard this quote, I love this quote." I heard it from you, who apparently I just now learned live on a podcast, learned it from him, who learned it from this lady, whom you didn't think much about. It's like every piece of somebody's got a little piece of wisdom to pass on and chuck on. And that was really cool. It was like a really cool realization for me that it's just, I heard that from fucking Ryan.
Just made me think about...
I've heard it before. I've heard that quote before.
It made me think about not being able to block shit out no more. Like, being able to filter through, like, who's just fucking talking shit out the side of their neck because they're just fucking whoever.
Because they can?
Or who, or what is relatively... objective.
Look. Point of the story is, I've had a lot of situations where this comes and goes, and I value friendship more than the average person on behalf of that fellow. I didn't have very many friends growing up because it's not that I didn't know how to make a long-term relationship last, it's just I didn't have the necessity to. By the time I was a fucking teenager going into high school, I didn't have any idea or any clue. I didn't have the life skill of establishing long-term relationships. I didn't care what the fuck you thought. I was really brutally honest. I talked a lot. I'm a lot of fucking energy. And
everybody cares to some degree about what somebody talks.
Yeah.
But it may just be
for
an instant.
But
I don't like it when it haunts me.
But it didn't matter because I moved around so much that
when it's always there, no matter what the fuck's going on around
you. It's
like
the repeating voice in your head that's just like, hey, you know, don't do this because... And then that person pops in your head at that instant, and they're talking, and you can, like, see and feel them. And you can feel, you know, desperation for you're doing something wrong and I'm trying to change your ways.
Look, I just really want to get this out. Like,
you know, the wrath that's coming out. Like,
I'm really just trying to close up a point. The point is, what I was trying to say to Josh, because, like, if this and when does reach his ears, I wanted him to know, in all honesty, that I realized that situation of how that turned out. I didn't have, like, the skills to make that long-term relationship, like, because I never needed to, so I value friendship, and those just stick around, and, you know, even though I talk a lot, even though I'm loud, even though I'm, like, in that, the people who stuck around to listen, I really appreciated that.
Maybe that's where they need to be. You know?
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm not there to be a roadblock for nobody. It's
just appreciating all one love, and although we were at two turning points that didn't, you know, quite intersect, still, like I said, the most listened podcast on this podcast. Real conversation.
Trying to, like, define what is exactly friendship and, like, you know, what people are just more of acquaintances or, like, temporary allies.
Yeah, but this was a dude that I've known for 10-plus years that lost.
I can have a conversation with him if I don't see him being friendship. I can talk out the side of my neck like any other random idiot.
I had a situation where...
I wanted to...
Brandon,
I hear you.
Like, I can get in the moment, and I can bullshit and cut up, but, like, a real friend?
Brandon, I had a situation just recently. It was right before I moved here to Austin. I'm sure you're aware, I've told it before, that I was really big into, you know, I was on a bunch of drugs. Just plain and simple, I'll fucking say it. I was in a bunch of drugs, and I was fucked up.
Did you see a cat?
No, I heard.
He heard something next door, because he forgets we live next to a trailer park.
No, I thought I heard that critter.
It's critter killing.
Time. Squirrel hunt. Anyway, just right before I moved here to Austin and got here, I was really into the drugs and shit, and I lost my way for a minute. I needed a little guidance back to the light. I've done, you know, good so
when
far.
When have you ever been?
Can I finish a point? Just one point. Just one point.
And then I came into his life and made it worse.
That happened. No, not at all. I drink with you. That's it. I jumped into this fucking situation where it's like, I'm trying to get better, but I'm in a different town and people don't realize it no more and they don't see it no more. So when they hear all the stories, like right before I left, he's really into this and that, obviously they just assume that like Ty's in a bad place, Ty's in a bad way. And very few people from my hometown came back and it spoke volumes about their character and who they were as a person. Shout out to Michael Parker, shout out to James Merce, y'all my niggas though, for real. Like honestly, one love to y'all. Y'all stuck through like thick and thin. It's been a rough road. It's been a long couple years, but these are 10 plus years. And Josh himself was actually a decade plus person I lost, and that actually really affected me in a way, which is why I'm even addressing it now. It was eventually getting brought up.
So why not be...
Look, brought them up, and they're still around, and when they heard in their head, Ty's fucked up on a bunch of drugs, Ty moved off to the city real quick, and he's just gone, and he's real messed up and everything, that turns a lot of people away, like, oh shit, he's into all that crap, I'm not into that crap, I don't want to fuck with him no more, and a lot of people fucking scattered from the bunch. But the real, real people who stayed, you know what they did? Instead of like, oh, Ty, heard you was on a bunch of shit and coming here also correcting and judgment and everything, they legitimately, instantly, when they heard that story, a lot of people took it verbatim and was like, he's a fucked up person. A lot of other people took it as, oh, shit, I need to call my boy. Haven't talked to him in a minute. And were legitimately concerned for my health and wanted to see what the deal was. They wanted to hear my side. So they wanted to let me speak for a minute so they could get a full grasp on the situation. And it was concern, it was love, it was coming from a good place in your heart, as opposed to the normal response, which I see in general society, of people who...
That's where my comment earlier came from.
Yeah, yeah.
I call that therapy.
Yeah.
I don't have a license, but I'm here, and
not,
I'm going to listen.
Not everybody out there is on your same moral compass, right or wrong, from the beginning of the anthropology conversation. Not every person out there is always thought of as the best person from the conversation the other person we're talking about judgment. But they always have something legitimate to add to your life or the conversation or to this podcast. We're closing up on 50 minutes right now.
What, even if you like harbor intuitive animosity towards them, it's like, I saw this person, I hate them for no apparent reason.
Everyone's got some
quote that's going to guide my life.
It's a crock pot of information. Those that are misguided and or wrong is just your opinion of wrong. Remember, everybody's the good guy of their own story. We all need this knowledge. It's collectively a big cesspool that just keeps growing into something beautiful and hopefully, you know, gets out to those who really need
cesspool
that message.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the time I'm the bad guy in my story.
A cesspool of beauty, baby. That's right.
I think you...
That is right.
I think you...
Used the wrong nomenclature?
No, man.
What?
No. I don't view it as bad. I just view it as Ryan.
I like to think of it that way, and that makes me kind of happy and positive and shit. And then I'm like, man, if I keep doing this, my ego is going to get too big, and I'm going to do something real stupid.
And my ego is big because God gave me a big ego, and that's awesome.
I think
that
the older you get, the more you're able to reel them thoughts in.
Let go of my ego.
Knowledge and time. But no, but that is a beautiful thing, though, is that these particular people, who when they heard that, jumped immediately from concern and attack and like get upset to love and concern and hit me up. And actually, I just like a couple nights ago, I got a call from my boy Mike, and we sat here and had a conversation with that portion. He was just calling to see what's up, just check on me and everything, because his cousin was Matt, and Matt went back with a lot of bad things to say about Ty.
Who's Matt?
You remember the
blonde
roommate, the blonde dude that was staying with me.
Yeah, I lent that cat money because I felt bad for him, and Matt. Then Ty got on my case about it, and he's like, why would you lend him money? And I was like, I felt bad for the dude, and he was going away.
Who the fuck was Matt?
I don't think he met Matt.
He was a waste of fucking time.
He's like I said, again, a good soul. We're not here to criticize people. We're here to, like, Josh and Matt and these people who recently fell out for different reasons, different points in time in life, still got a lot of love for these people. These people I've known for 10 years plus.
Oh, okay, well, forgive my verbal diarrhea.
No. Honest opinion from a guy watching from the sidelines. Like, literally honest opinion, right? The most raw statement you get. That may or may not be true. I just hope and pray that gets resolved at some given point in time.
Well, I was just hoping that he could better his life because I thought he was a good person. And then, you know, he just kind of fucking rode off with the money into the sunset and never heard back from him. And, well, I actually did a while ago. But
people like you and me are susceptible to stuff like that. The simple fact that we don't expect people
you come
to
come out a large amount of money.
Hey, that's not.
No.
The point is,
but under the
it's not like it was a bad check.
Hey, can I borrow?
And no,
and I will pay you back.
Well, no, he was just in a hard straight, dude.
Right,
and
right.
I just wanted to like help the cat out because I had some extra coin.
Right, in the pretest.
Did he say did you expect him to get paid back?
Well, he was dirty though.
No, it was a going away present, basically. It's like, dude, you know, you got a kid, you got a wife, you know, go off and live your life, man. Here's some money for the road.
Look, I'm trying to say, people like you and me are really blessed with the fact
he was married.
Guys, too personal. Podcast. Live. Live, people.
What are you talking about? We're talking about
ease with the deets.
Oh, I'm okay.
Ease with the deets is all I'm saying, all right?
All right.
Names and places are changed to protect those of the parties involved in this podcast. We're
who
not trying
gives
to...
a shit?
I give a shit. It's my podcast.
Well, okay. It's a four-letter word, and I haven't described any places.
Fuck. Anyway.
They're called nouns.
What I was trying to say was people like you and me are blessed with the simple fact that we go out there to do good things for good people and don't expect them to do bad things in return because we're doing good things. It's a fucking curse. It's a blessing. It's something that, you know...
I think it's a karmic debt that I owe the world for some shit that I didn't even know that
it's
I
something
did.
That a great, great woman
like
named...
paying it forward?
It's something like a great, great woman named Grandma Marceline told my mom, which made my mom the wonderful person she is today, which gave me into the simple fact that I may do things, but I have good heart and love behind the intent of my actions.
We
don't do bad things to other people, ergo not expecting them to do bad things to us. You and me get walked on a lot. We take advantage of a lot.
Well, that's having a conscience, right?
It's you get walked on a lot. You get taken advantage of a lot, but you know...
No.
It's a byproduct of being that generous. Yeah, you can learn. You can learn.
And you find a whole lot more
learn.
Genuine shit
you can.
That way than you would the other way.
You can learn. But, I don't know.
I'm trying to grasp that.
Or you could be
that
genuinely...
Grandma Marceline, genuinely, a real motherfucker. That's a real motherfucker right there. God bless her soul, for real. Seriously, that's...
You could genuinely turn out to be a fucking...
Oh, you're somewhere up there in heaven. Sitting in
person.
Poor call.
Complete apathetic waste of life.
I down on a big ass margarita saying this. That's my granddaughter.
That's like
she did right. She did right.
Sometimes I feel like I end up there just for no damn reason.
We all end up there for no damn reason. It's called life, motherfucker. Anyway, we're signing off here on the Name That Podcast. By this is Ty.
No, I think
this
it
is Ryan.
Those
Ryan.
Come in
yeah.
And this is your boy Brandon. Brandon, if I can catch you five mm-hmm. seconds. No.
Nope.
All right, not enough crayons in the set table. Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon.
You know what I mean?
Brandon.
B-Rad.
B-Rad.
I got y'all on that, B-Rad. Dude. I mean,
B-Rad.
I tried to sell my soul for
hey,
that B-Rad. Shit when I believed in
Brandon.
Them.
Hey, bitch. Hey, ho. That's the one. It's ho, people. Got him. We're signing off. I just wanted to say goodbye to the people real quick. We have a couple minutes left. I was going to see how long it took. You got to damn it. There's not enough crayons over here. I know. It's hard.
Crayons.
Yeah, so you keep crayons.
You're insulting me once again.
Once again, people. Once again.
I learned how to draw in the fifth grade.
He's so nice on the mic. It's ridiculous. I probably come across as a dick. Like, you would talk all that shit, right?
I don't know what happened. Don't look at me like I got answers.
I don't know. Did I talk shit?
You do. Not on microphone. No.
Man, I speak relatively in the general terms of...
I speak from a generation that is way beyond yours, youngster.
No.
Ty, you don't understand the way it was. We used to walk to school 5 miles in the snow with no shoes on.
Like, I wish I would have been fucking like a little bit more open-minded and receptive to some things. That
hey, you know what? You know what? Look. When you're 20 years old, you think you live forever. When you're 30 years old, you think you're dying. When you're 40 years old, you want to be a kid again, and when you're 50 years old, you think you're dying, and life's over and ended with. But here's the thing, though. If you do everything up until your life that's happened to this point in time, anywhere in the 30s, you are still barely old. That's 60. You can't be scared of tomorrow. You're going to die, nigga. I'm going to die. Everybody going to die, motherfucker. It just happens. That's life. That's
I was on the Prime Meridian, and that, then I found magic.
That's the process of the thing, but that's also the beauty in it, though. It's also the beauty of it, man.
I was thinking The Gathering, like the card game. You know?
I'm saying it's not too late to apply these. I sit here and tell my stories, and you always rebuttal back, which you did beautifully in this podcast. You rebuttal back
with your lessons of, like, you need to really pay attention to that specific point, Ty.
I just say that.
I love that shit, you know, because that teaches me something, and you think that I wish I would have applied that early in my life.
The way people brought it up to me is like,
you need to listen, you need to do this, and this is what you need to goddamn do, but you don't need to be, you need to
But you're only 30. Look, but you're only in your 30s. What I'm saying is you got another 30 plus, I don't know, 40 probably, on top of you to apply these lessons that you always, like, point out to me.
Shit.
I love that shit. I love that shit. I'm good at
being able to see that now and to see, like, have that epiphany and that foreshadowing.
Well, pushing motion into action has been one of the hardest things since Dawn Time.
Implementing it into my own life.
Look. Idea into motion is one of the hardest things of all fucking time. That's why we think everybody in LA is bad.
I can tell people what to do, but when it's like, I can give advice.
It's harder for me to.
All right.
Everybody kind of struggles with that a little bit.
It is. It's under yes. Yeah, so what I'm trying to tell you is it's not too late. It's never too late. If you want to change, you can change. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff to talk on this podcast, but we are literally running out. So I don't know how we pushed it to the last second. Every time we fucking got down to the last goddamn second, but this
just got cut off at the last second. How does that feel?
He gave me the one finger.
So what you got to do with three-year-olds? When you ain't got no crayons, you give them the finger. Shut up. Anyway, one love, peace and hair grease. It was excellent. Honestly, this is great. This is great. It made up for the great disappointment that was the 40 minutes we lost the other night. But signing off, it's Ty Dye, your boy Ryan, your boy B-Rad. We're here. We're live. Come check us out on the Name That Podcast, and hit me up at VTOC500.com. You can hit us up there. The best place to catch us, we are on Anchor. We are on Spotify now, apparently, so you can catch us there. Email me, figure it out, get all the facts. One love. We're out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.